chapter 18. We're talking about the rich young ruler and just a few observations about the rich young ruler that have caught my heart. And I'm hoping that the Lord will use these observations and will catch your heart as well. So let's listen to the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 18 will begin in verse 18. And let's listen to the word of the Lord. And a certain ruler asked him, this is the Lord Jesus, this is a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Knowest the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All of these have I kept from my youth up." And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and can distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And we heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "Hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And when they heard it, said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And let's just have a small word of prayer to ask the Lord's blessing upon us with his word open before us. Lord, we do thank you, O Lord, for these blessings today. And we ask that you would bless these words upon our heart and these meditations, Lord. May they be sanctified and may they be used for your glory. Help this speaker, O Lord. I am but a sinner. But Lord, let them see past the speaker. And Lord, let them hear the words of our Lord Jesus. For we do pray these things in his precious name. Amen. George Bernard Shaw once wrote, "Youth is the most precious thing in life, and it's too bad it's wasted on young folks." And he was referring to the immaturity that comes along with the limitless energy that's found with young people. And despite having the energy to do many things, young people waste that energy on silly and seemingly trivial things, right? Young people waste this energy. It was his point. But in their defense, most young people are burdened with several life-changing decisions that they need to make. These decisions like, do I go to college? Do I go to trade school? Do I buy a new car? Do I buy an old clunker? Do I rent an apartment? Do I stay at home? Do I listen to my friends or do I listen to my parents? Do I take a big chance or do I play it safe? In this narrative of the rich young ruler, I want to see here that in the Gospel of Matthew, he describes him as a young man having great possessions. And in Mark's gospel, although he doesn't say he's young, he does say he came running to Jesus, a clear indication of youth. And here in our text, Luke, he describes this man as a ruler who is very rich. And while none of these descriptions are false, each apostle emphasizes a certain truth over another. And here in our text, Luke, we see a complete picture of this person that the Lord Jesus is dealing with. Now, on the surface, let's look at this rich young man. On the surface, it seems like He has everything. Okay, first of all, he's rich. He has lots of money and possessions. The second of all, he's young. And then third of all, he's a ruler. And it doesn't say what he does, but I suspect he has a government position with a salary. So he has lots of money. He's young and he has lots of possessions. And he has a position, maybe with a salary. He's probably set for life, right? He's probably set for life. But because of his youth, he probably paid someone for this government position back in this day, and especially during the Dark Ages. More times than not, a ruler wasn't made a ruler because of his wisdom. A ruler was made a ruler because of his money. Many high offices, such as chancellors of universities and archbishops, were sold for a price. And then oftentimes, these people had taxes imposed on the people. They raised taxes to pay for this office, to recompensate for the money that they put forward. Now, because of this man's youth, and because of his, what I feel like is his lack of wisdom and experience, I'm pretty sure he would have paid for his office, because he doesn't show that much wisdom here once we dig into this text. But if you were this rich young man, what else would you want in life? He's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. He has a good position. What else would you want? You seem to have everything in life. But that's what it would seem. But there's one desire that's gnawing on his conscience, and it's the same thing that gnaws away at everyone's conscience at one time in life or another. As I've mentioned before in my last message, there's a hole in everyone's heart. And to be honest with you, this hole in this heart, and hole in everyone's heart, it's more like a bottomless pit, this void that can't be filled. And everyone goes through life with a desire or a determination. You know, people have a desire and a determination. They're driven. People are driven. And they try to fill this void in our heart with something, with one thing or another. And the Lord gives us this desire and this determination, and it's meant to be used to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's exactly what this man does. That's exactly what does. There's a hole. He needs something. There's something missing in this man's life, and he's desperate to find out what it is. And this urgency, it's so urgent that it couldn't wait any longer, and he went running to the Lord Jesus Christ, as if he can fill this void, as if the Lord Jesus can give him the answer. And this is really a great example. This is what we all should do when we're perplexed, when we're troubled. We should run to the Lord Jesus, and that's exactly what he does. But listen to his query. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And although this man has everything you could want, it's still not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. The world and their money are things that you can never have enough of. They will never satisfy your soul. You know, I remember my sons, they worked for framing a house for a man who won the Powerball lottery. And he had so much money to spend on building this huge, elaborate house that he even had, when he had the driveway, he had a concrete driveway, and when he had the driveway poured, he had heating tubes put in the driveway, and so that the driveway would be heated and melt the snow off so that he wouldn't have to scoop snow in the wintertime. That's how much money he had. Now, that would be pretty nice to see a big snow come and see it all melt away. So you don't have to go out and scoop snow. Or at least my boys would think so. That would be pretty great. But money doesn't make you happy. And this man, his confession was, he says, you know, sometimes I had wished that I'd never won the lottery. I'd never won all this money. You can have all this money, but it never made him happy. You can tell that just by this one statement. It doesn't make him happy. Money doesn't make you happy. Neither will worldly things, because they can never satisfy you. You can never have enough. You feel you get this one thing and you'll want something else. But within these few verses, we'll see what's required of us to have eternal life. And much more than that, we will see that there's rewards as well. There's rewards. And so far, this rich young ruler seems to be doing everything right. But the Lord Jesus points out that he lacks one thing. One thing. Now, in my opinion, we can see several flaws with this young man. And we're going to reveal some of his flaws. But there's just one thing that will cure his flaws. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And firstly, consider, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. If he would have love for Christ in his life, he would be perfect. He would be perfect. Love for the Lord Jesus is the key to this passage, and although it's not specifically mentioned, it's certainly implied. 1 Peter 4:8. For above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You see, there's power in love. There's perfecting power. This love for Jesus is the cure for eternal life. It solves eternal life. Love for Jesus, it's the cure for misplaced trust. Love for Jesus, it inspires us to give. And we'll see that love for Jesus inspires us to serve. You see, this rich young ruler, he loved his money. And he had many possessions and he was very rich. But he had little care for anything else. Like so many of us, he was choked by worldly things and he couldn't flourish spiritually. What did you love before you loved the Lord Jesus? What did you love? What did you love? Here, Mark, he adds an important phrase that the other apostles leave out. Mark chapter 10, verse 20. And he said unto, and this is the rich young ruler, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. I have fulfilled the law ever since I was a child. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Note this. Jesus beheld him, and Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Now, Bible commentators, they stumble over this verse. Some won't even comment on it. But Jesus loves sinners. Amen. Jesus loves sinners. And I can tell you that Jesus loves sinners because Jesus loves me. Amen. He loves me. I know Jesus loves me. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. We don't know love until we see Christ's love for us. We have to see Christ's love. We can't love like Christ until we feel Christ's love for us. Jesus' love is the important part here. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. You know, the Lord's answer to the rich young ruler was simple. Empty this world from your heart and fill it with me. Fill it with Jesus. The love for the Lord Jesus, it fills all voids, especially that void in your soul. Have you ever told someone that you love them and they didn't return that? And they didn't say, I love you back? Has that happened to anyone? It's crushing. When you say, I love you, and they don't return it, it's crushing. It's crushing. And this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. He loved him. He's extending his love to this rich young ruler. And we'll see this young man's reaction to this. The Lord's giving him his love. He's sticking it out. It's awful. It's crushing. It's heart-wrenching. So love for Jesus, it fills that void. It's the one thing we need. Number two, love for Jesus is the cure for misplaced trust. Luke 18, verse 20 and 21. The Lord Jesus answers him, Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. I've done all this. I've kept the law. I've kept all these things. What did you trust before you trusted Jesus? What did you lean on in your life before you leaned on Jesus? There's so many things in this world to lean on to. Some people lean on their jobs, their retirement. I talked to a man that I worked with at one point in time who drove a truck himself like me. And we were talking about how the company, there was problems within the company we were driving for. He was an owner-operator like me, and he said, Well, I've got $600,000 in my savings, and I don't care what happens here at this company as long as I don't lose that money. Well, he was trusting. He was trusting in his money. He was trusting in that. But notice here the rich young ruler, he's trusting in the law. And he thinks that if he obeys the law perfectly, he thinks that he obeys it perfectly, but he doesn't. There's something missing. And what's missing is Jesus is the end of the law. Jesus is the end of the law. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the law's purpose. It takes us to Christ. When you believe in Christ, you're considered righteous and you bear the righteousness of Christ. 1 John 2:23. This is what the Apostle John says about the commandments. And this is his command. This is what John says. This is his command that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. The law of Moses here, according to the Apostle John, the law of Moses is required for us to believe. Believe. And if you look at Moses in particular, Deuteronomy 18, look at what Moses says. Moses, the law of Moses, it requires us to believe in that great prophet whom the Lord will send. I'll read you what it says here. Moses says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Moses here is talking about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's talking about his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is commanded to believe on him in his commandments. You know, and I just found out, on a byway, I know Steve says, Joe, I usually preach for 30 minutes. Yeah, I'll preach at least for 30 minutes, brother. Don't worry. So I just found out, and what's funny is I just found out that in the Jewish teaching, Jews like the temple Jews, second temple Jews, they taught that you can extrapolate out of the Old Testament that there's a relationship, there's a plurality with God. There's a plurality with God, and they taught a relationship that was like a father and a son. They taught this out of the Old Testament. The old Jews did. And you know when they quit teaching it? After the first century, after Jesus came. Because Jesus was such a perfect fulfiller of what they taught, but they rejected him. They rejected him. And so they had to quit teaching it altogether. That no more was the Messiah's relationship like a father and son's relationship. They quit teaching that because the Lord Jesus fulfilled this so closely. They quit teaching it in the first and second centuries, and they quit teaching it and don't teach it today. That's just a little cow path here that I like to go down. But this rich young ruler, he was willing to obey the law, but he's not willing to obey Jesus. Whereas scriptures tell us, you obey Jesus, you obey the law. So scriptures say, believe in Jesus. The love for him cures misplaced trust. Love for him cures misplaced trust. And the third part, love for Jesus inspires giving. Look at this. Luke 18:22-23. Now Jesus heard these things and said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You know, before Ann and I, before we were married, see, I had my money and she had her money, right? Then after we were married, my money became our money. And her money became her money, right? So, but the point is, the world doesn't want to part with their money. The world doesn't want to part with their money. See, for some people, it's their security, as if money delivered them from every situation. And it almost teach that. It's almost implied that in this world today, God doesn't provide, money provides. As a matter of fact, if you have enough money, you don't need insurance. You can just go, you can just say, no, I'm financially stable. I don't need insurance. I have, as a matter of fact, I heard someone was telling me here recently about a lady who did just that. That whenever there was a medical expense for her employees, she just wrote a check for it. No insurance. She just wrote them a check. But oftentimes, the thorns and weeds of this world have overgrown in our souls, and there's no room. No room in our souls for anyone but ourselves. Sometimes the world becomes so abundant in our hearts, there's no room for anyone else. And the love for the Lord Jesus, it removes this focus off ourselves, and we give what we have to the Lord for his purpose. Now, I love my wife very much, and I want to buy her nice things. I just do, because I love her very much. I want to buy her nice things. I want to give her nice things because I love her. But when we love little, we give little. And when we love much, we give much. And Jesus, he loves all. And Jesus gives all. Amen. Jesus gives all. And that's our example. And that's also the feeling that he's put in our heart. Jesus loves all and he gives all. So the love for Jesus inspires our giving. But also, lastly, the love for Jesus, it inspires serving. Luke 18:22-23. Again, the same verses. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And the world asks, what can be had? But Jesus asks, what can you give? This is what Jesus asks of us. What can we give? You know, I was telling you I love my wife so much that I want to give her what she asked for. And a lot of times she doesn't ask me for money. She asks me for to come and do this and do that, help her with her garden and do this, and I'm willing to do whatever she asks for within reason. But notice the rich young ruler. He was just that. He was a ruler. He had only ruled people. He had never served anyone. He was a ruler. He had never served anyone. He was willing to give some, but not all. Jesus asked to give our all. He doesn't ask us to give our some. He asks us to give our all. He doesn't just want your profession. He doesn't just want your tithe. He wants your life. He wants your life as a living testimony for his glory. And you know what? To whom much is given, much is expected. If you've received a lot, you're expected to give a lot. There's one more thing out of this passage I'd like for us to see. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said, "Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." Jesus promises him everything in return for his love. Treasure in heaven. I'll give you. You give your money, you'll have it all back. You'll have treasure in heaven. You want eternal life, you'll have it. You'll have it. Verse 18, or verse 30 of chapter 18, who shall, where this is the Lord Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." He promises that. You give to me a little, is what he's saying to this rich. You give to me, I'll double it, triple it. You'll have everything you're asked for. You'll have your eternal life. And you'll have all this money. I'm offering you all this inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, in heaven, it's not going to rust. I have my retirement is in mutual funds and this and that and banks. Those things can collapse and be taken away. As the interest rate falls and the stock market falls, so will my retirement. It's all based on fragile things, but not what Jesus gives. He gives us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And all you must do is cast away these worldly things that will rot and rust and decay. And look what the man says, or look at his countenance. Luke 18, verse 23. And when he said this, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Notice here, he leaves trusting his money and not trusting Jesus, because he thinks his money will bear him through this world. And he leaves the Lord Jesus' love unreturned. Jesus has offered his love, and it's not returned. When you trust in Jesus, he can bear us through this world and the next. Let's close with a closing hymn, and then I'll have a benediction.